Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, your 950 KJR Sports headlines.
All right, here we go. Happy Wednesday. Headlines on Softy and Dick, brought to you by our friends and buddies, Gertie's and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Yeah. I love that. Husky football, Kalen DeBoer, which we found out, by the way, is French for the boar. Getting twin commitments from twin defensive linemen. Literally twins. Armon and Javon Parker from Fortson High School in beautiful Dearborn, Michigan. Both defensive linemen, both 6'4", 270, three-star defensive linemen committing today to play foosball on Mott Lake.
Bears have scheduled a second interview with our old buddy Dan Quinn for their head coaching vacancy, and the Vikings have hired Kwesi Adofo-Mensah as their new GM, signing him to a four-year deal worth $12 million. He was with the Niners from 2013 to 19.
Did you look up phonetics on that pronunciation, or did you pull it off yourself?
Be honest. I pulled it off myself.
You sure you're right about it? Would you bet money?
I feel pretty good, yeah.
Okay. Kraken, 4-2 loss to Nashville. Kraken get goals from Jared McCann and Adam Larson. At the Penguins tomorrow, 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock faceoff right here on 950 KJR, followed by the Huskies in Colorado, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip after Colorado beat Oregon last night on the world's nastiest-looking court in Eugene, Oregon.
Lakers beat the Nets in Brooklyn. LeBron went for 33-7-6. AD was back for his first game. He had 8 points after missing 17 games with a sprained knee, but there was no KD or Kyrie for the Nets.
You know how sometimes painters just like throw paint at a canvas and
yeah,
it's like
sell it for $1 billion
and that's it? If you literally took like a basketball hardwood floor and just had like 100 people vomit on it, do you think there's a chance it would look like it does in Eugene?
Yes.
With that court down there?
It looks even different than it did a few years ago. Have they changed it? The trees look brown now.
Awful. It looks awful. Every time I watch that thing, I'm like, who? It's like the same idiots that hired Booger and Joe and all these morons on Monday Night Football. Who would look at that and think that's a good idea? You know what it looks like? It looks like the last scene from E.T., when the spacecraft went up over the tree line.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Petros Papadakis is joining us right now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy, I'm stupid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
41 yards.
If you're hurt in an accident, call Sweet James right away at 800-500-5200. Sweet James will be sweet to you, but tough on insurance companies that will bully you.
Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Ushalom.
And now, with Petros, here's Dave Softy Muller.
Losers.
All right, here we go. Every Wednesday at this time, we get really, I think, the honor. I don't know how many weekly hits this guy does. He may do one with Clay Travis on his show once a week. I got no idea. He's a busy guy. He's got a family. He's got a radio show of his own. He's doing TV, game shows, all kinds of weird stuff, getting tattoos, buying knives, other weapons, walking in the trees. From the Petros and Money Show in Southern California. The king of sports talk in L.A., the prince of pigskin, our friend Petros Papadakis, brought to you by
Sweet James Bergener, the dense beard of justice. His beard is dense. The justice is legitimate if an insurance company is going to take advantage of you, and they are. After you've been in an accident or if a dog has bitten your balls, you got to get legal representation and attack that insurance company. 800-500-5200. 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com. I do one other weekly with, it's no longer Clay Travis. Brady Quinn and Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington.
So they're doing the show that Clay used to do? Is that right?
Yeah, and that's today.
Oh, okay.
On the national Fox Sports Radio, so I do that.
I heard that.
And I do this.
Clay, like, took over for Limbaugh, right?
Yes. Yeah, him and a guy named Buck Sexton.
Buck Sexton! That's his name?
Yes.
Think that's his real name? Or is his real name like Joseph Polanski or something?
I don't know. He's like a CIA guy.
Sexton here.
He's one of those ex-FBI turned commentator types. So I wouldn't.
I like it.
I wouldn't mess with Sexton.
No, I got a general rule of thumb. I'm not sure if you believe this or not, but I don't mess with guys named Buck. Period. At all. I mean, guy's name Bucky. We have a, you know who Bucky Jacobson is? Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
I mean, I know Bucky Brooks.
Yeah, well, Bucky Jacobson.
NFL Network.
Well, this is a different guy. Bucky Jacobson played baseball for the Mariners for like a year and now does our morning show with a guy named Chuck Powell on KJR. So, Bucky I'll mess with, but not a guy named Buck. That's a different animal. Totally.
All right, well, this is riveting.
Hey, you brought it up, man.
No, I did it.
You followed up.
I'm just here. I took a nap, and I woke up with a headache from my sleep mask.
Well, you might want to clean that thing out.
No.
You know, it needs maintenance.
Like, on top, like from the strap.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I'll give you a line that my wife likes to use on me all the time. When I tell her I'm not feeling well, when I tell her I have some kind of an ailment or a headache or whatever, you know what she tells me? She says, you know what I heard? Helps if you cry about it. My wife says that to me constantly.
What a sweet woman.
Yeah, you think that's some
sweet and loving.
Hey, you heard the conversation we were having about Oregon's basketball court, huh?
Yes, like yes. That? Compassion about the artist. Look, I thought that they took a risk. Some people don't like it. Yeah, I thought it was weird when I first saw it. But when I understood the concept behind it.
Mm-hmm. Which is what? Explain it to us.
The very first NCAA tournament was an Oregon championship. So the very first NCAA championship.
Yeah, they won. Correct. Yeah. They won the first one, right.
And they were called the Tall Furs, the name of the team. And it was before they were called the Ducks. You know, they were just known like the newspaper used to nickname people back in the day.
Yeah.
That's how people would get their nickname.
Right, like the Galloping Ghost.
Right, yeah. Or like... The Auburn Tigers were not known as the Auburn Tigers. They were known as the Men of the Plains.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Plainsmen or the Men of the Plains. But then somebody writing in an article about the foosball contest, or football, excuse me, was like, they fought like tigers. And then it became, the Auburn Tigers. usually it's a nickname that kind of catches on. So the nickname of that Ducks team was the Tall Furs.
Yep.
So they made it like you're deep in the woods looking up and there's all the trees and you're about to be killed, presumably.
Right, I get it. It's
by
looks,
the Oregon basketball team.
It still looks dumb, though.
In your opinion, and I understand. You know, I watched the Lakers play yesterday on the Brooklyn Nets court where it looks like everybody's like a cartoon or like moving on some kind of weird marble surface.
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, people want to be creative, softy, but if you and Dick want to sit there and freaking yuck it up about how ugly the court is, and and I'm
like
sitting
pigs.
Here, and I'm on hold and I'm listening to Jackson on the ones and twos back there going, oh, yeah, that's right, I agree. Like, all right, guys, if you want to just sit there in your little echo chamber about how crappy the Oregon court is, you know, there's a world is breaking all around us. Society is grinding to a halt. But you guys want to sit here and complain about Oregon's court.
Okay,
because
some
rich guy wanted to build it like that.
It was a fleeting comment. It was 20 seconds of dialogue.
What are you talking about? It became all you guys gathering around like a one-eyed kid and pointing at him going, ha, ha, look at you, ha.
Yeah, that's all we are, man. We just point and mock. That's all
bullies,
we do here. Yeah.
Radio. Studio thugs.
You fired
that's
up for
Roger
Sunday?
That's what Roger Lodge called me once.
Roger Lodge called you a studio thug?
Like, so he had some
I thought
intern,
you were a barking seal.
Some intern was like, what's up with that Petros guy? He's like, that guy's a studio thug. I think he said it about Matt, too.
That is phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
Roger
Thank you.
Lodge got
God, good grief. Are you, from now on, you are... What did Roger call you again?
A studio thug.
Studio thug. We're going to refer to you as the barking seal or the studio thug. See, this is how nicknames are formed.
Yes,
you just got done talking about how newspapers used to give players and coaches nicknames back in the day. We are now going to refer to you as the studio thug, a.k.a. the barking seal.
Do you know the USC nickname before they were the Trojans?
I don't know. Tell
don't
us.
Make it up. You're going to make
no,
up something
I don't
stupid.
Know. I was going to make something up, but I couldn't think of anything.
It was they were the Methodists.
The meth heads?
The Methodists.
The Methodists. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 1, 2, 3, Methodist.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And then they somebody put a condom on and they became the Trojans. I mean, I don't know how did that.
Oh, that you know. you had to make it stupid. That's all you guys laughing about the organ cord.
You fired up for
you
Sunday?
Know what? It looks like everybody took a crap, doesn't it, Softy? Yeah, that's right, Dick. It looks like somebody took a crap. Yeah, Jackson. Hold on. Stupid court. God,
I love you. I don't know why, but I do. My God.
Now, what do you want?
I want to move into your house for like a week. That's what I want to do. I want to hang out with the kids and know what it's like to have you as a papa.
It's really just me yelling most of the time. Well, you know what? You know what? Here's the soundtrack of the morning today. Hold on. I'm going to move my move my headphones so I don't upset your listeners too much.
All right.
Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. Get up. And brush your teeth. Sound about right. That is the soundtrack of the Papadakis family morning.
Oh, God, I love that. Well,
the best is when the garage opens, so like people walking down the street can hear like, get in the car. Where's your mask? Really, really working hard over there. Although, you know what? I will say something. I don't know. I don't want to try to all of a sudden turn and say something meaningful on this show.
Forget it. I don't want to talk about it. I was going to ask you about the game on Sunday, but who gives a damn?
What game?
Exactly.
The Laker game?
The Laker game. Oh, my God.
I want to tell you something. Last night, I took my son up the street to my alma mater, my high school.
Yeah, which is what high school is that?
Peninsula High School.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it's actually located in Rolling Hills Estates, California.
Yeah, the famous Quakers.
The Panthers.
No, close. Got it.
But, you know, we are very close to the street where Tiger, actually, it's on the street that Tiger went
you mean where he crashed?
Yeah. Is right there, Hawthorne Boulevard.
Is that how you recreate a crash?
When it rolled over and over and over, yeah.
It sounded like what again?
Okay,
finish your story.
Anyway, I took my son to the game last night. And
Did you get paid?
No.
Wow.
My dad is the water boy.
Oh, okay.
For the varsity basketball team.
Gotcha.
Which completes a long legacy of Papadakis waterboying.
That is awesome. I love the fact that your dad does that. That's
well, great. I was the water boy for the all his high school football teams when he was the coordinator and I was in junior high.
You know what that's like? That's like Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump. Somebody in my family has fought and died in every major American war.
Exactly.
Somebody in the Papadakis family has been a water boy for every era of Peninsula High School basketball.
Yeah, Fletcher was passing out the water last night. So he had three generations of water.
Yeah.
Between my dad, my son and myself.
Oh.
And we had it was just watching the kids compete. Like we didn't play very well, I guess, my alma mater. We got beat by Maricosta, which is in Manhattan Beach, California.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of elitist bastards.
Surfer kids kicked our ass. you know, the effort that the kids gave and just, I don't know. I guess it's been a while since I've been to a high school basketball game. Just the way they hit the floor and how hard they were playing and getting after it and all the chants with the cheerleaders and senior night and all of that.
Wait a minute. Did you get verklempt?
It was very nice.
You get verklempt a little bit?
No.
A little verklempt?
But it was very nice. And I just felt awful because, you know, these kids have had their seasons clipped. Especially here on the West Coast, you know, they've had a lot of kids, you know, we were in high school for 4 years. 3 years of their high school has been this crap that we've been dealing with and all these rules that change every day and all this arbitrary BS that a lot of us are getting pretty tired of. And I just felt bad for a lot of the young people.
Yeah.
The way they've tried to compete and compete through this pandemic. But it was very nice to go see the young people compete. And I would suggest to all of your listeners that if you haven't been for a while, go to a high school basketball game and watch the kids run around because it is kind of cool.
Well, I think you did get, you know, it's nice that you had
girls
that,
or boys.
Yeah, it's nice that you had that moment and you know, you could kind of prioritize things and put things into perspective after all that we've been through.
Yeah.
Great advice.
And then what do I get on the radio, you know, and what do I hear?
Yeah.
Disparaging of art. A beautiful court.
Hey, are you going Sunday to SoFi?
Oh, God, no. But, you know, that's become like this whole thing down here.
Yeah.
And it just goes, along, Softy, with what is long understood as, I mean, look, how long have you been a Seahawks fan?
All my life.
Right, you guys. And so everything about the Seahawks, everything that happens in the game, everything, you know, all that stuff is kind of bred in the bone for you guys. And none of it is new. It's all pretty familiar. And whatever happens with the Seahawks, usually you're not surprised because that's, you know, you've lived with this franchise forever. Well, the Rams here in Los Angeles are so different. Because, yes, they were here a long time ago and under different ownership, and there's people that have memories about it. And there's even people that have stuck with the team, and they even have a fan base, and they obviously have a beautiful stadium. But, I mean, I could just name so many things that they do just with their off-the-field product, including this bitching about the tickets, which is just the latest kind of machination of this. But
well, like, what else? What else besides McVay coming out? Don't sell your tickets to Niner fans.
Yeah, and all the, right? The Rams' wives get all angry all the time. They attack. They get after me in the media all
really?
The time. And like, and I don't even care.
Who gets after you the most?
Whitworth's wife has got after me on
really?
Twitter. Stafford's wife attacked me in her podcast.
Really?
And I don't care. Like, that's not the point. That the other thing, the draft house. The draft house, Softy.
The Red House?
No, the house they did with the Malibu and no one could even go.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
Just all the uniforms, the changing of the logo, all these things that they do, the bitching about the tickets, the game experience at SoFi when it's a Ram game. You know, the Chargers are the Chargers, but at least they know how to put on a game in the Southern California area and what music to play and how to act. The Rams run a Jonas Brother out there and expect everybody to, like, have an orgasm. It's like, guys, just get a mariachi band. Like, know your audience.
Why did Kelly Stafford go after you?
She didn't like that I called him Matt Stafford.
Oh, come on. Everybody calls him Matt and Matthew,
know,
and both are acceptable. Who cares?
I don't. What do you want from me? What I'm saying is almost everything they do, including this weird bitching about who's going to show up at the game in a city of transplants.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I mean, keeping 49er fans out of anything is like trying to keep taquerias or cars off the freeway. I mean, they're everywhere. There are people that are connected with the Bay Area everywhere. The Rams would play in Anaheim, and Joe Montana and all those guys would play against Jim Everett and Henry Ellard, and it would be filled with half 49er fans. That's not new, but everything the Rams, everything's new to them. The LA media, a jackass like me, they don't know how to react to. They don't know how to react to their own fan base. They don't know what music to play them, how to portray the product in the stadium. It's an absolute assault on the senses. Watch the game and try to kind of connect with the game operations while you're watching on TV. It's not easy to do. It is so loud and so disconcerting and so stupid. So my point overall is everything the Rams do, other than the on-the-field stuff, which obviously they're competing great, and they've sold out to build a team to get to the Super Bowl where this rich guy built this stadium for the NFL, and the Super Bowl is going to be in L.A., and all of those stars are aligning. But everything else they do is like a guy that just got here from St. Louis who has billions of dollars but still doesn't know how to act and doesn't know how to be cool.
Wow.
Geez. And that's the entire franchise. They just don't know how to be cool. I mean, I don't know how the media gets treated or treats the team in St. Louis, but they're absolutely just – they're not in touch with their home, which doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day. I'm sure they'll figure it out, and The NFL loves being in Los Angeles, and they're going to have a big party here for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, UCLA just let fans back in to play.
I saw that, right.
They were having the Super Bowl. I mean, they moved the Grammys to Las Vegas.
Yeah, big win last night for the Bruins.
Yeah, but they moved it, yeah, and they filled the house when before you couldn't have anybody. It's just like, what are we doing at this point? They moved the Grammys out of here, but we can have the Super Bowl. But they didn't want out of the Grammy parties or the Grammys, but all those people are just going to go to Las Vegas and then drive right back to L.A.? I mean, what's happening? Anyway.
What?
A lot of incongruencies, Softy.
Are you going to be on Radio Row down there for the Super Bowl at SoFi?
I'd rather publicly castrate myself.
It's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting.
You know how I feel
so
about
it. So that's
radio.
A no, then.
You know how I feel
well,
about it.
Well, maybe money could be there, and you could do your part from the studio.
We've done that for years.
Right.
Because I hate Radio Row so desperately.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think you hate it so much, it might actually be entertaining.
Well, that's
hearing
usually,
you just that, belittle that, everybody on Radio Row, which you would do, by the way.
It belittles me being there.
You're bitching at me for belittling a friggin' disgusting basketball court. You put you on Radio Row, and half the guys there would go home crying.
No, I don't, you know, I don't, it used to be more entertaining to see how angry I could get. And,
like but, the Hulk.
Yeah, but.
oh, no.
They're just sending us out. I mean, the whole Super Bowl is sold, you know, through the iHeartRadio LA cluster, which you know well all about.
Oh,
so. We're you know, we're linked in with a bunch of other stations and. We're going to do some events, but thank God I'm avoiding. I think we're going to be at the Hollywood Park Casino, which is a great place to get ventilated.
Isn't that where all the horses died?
No,
that's Santa Monica,
Santa Anita.
Sorry, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually solved that.
The horse problem.
I solved the horse death caper.
You solved really? You?
Yeah,
you,
no, it's famous like,
who
on the air.
Responsible
we talked about
for
it all the time.
Wow,
yeah. Would you like to know how I solved it?
I would, but does Kelly Stafford know about that? Maybe if she knew, she wouldn't bitch about you on her podcast.
She bitches about a lot of stuff.
Okay.
That's kind of her thing.
Tell us the story about how you cracked the case.
Well, I'll tell you, I did. I thought about it a lot. And I thought about going up there and like wearing a green T-shirt like Shaggy and walking around like after dark, you know, to try to figure out why all these horses were dying in the races.
Right.
And then after a little while, I figured it out. Yeah. Horse racing kills horses.
Never thought of it like that.
And that's why they're dying.
Never thought of it like that. Well, I mean...
It turns out if you juice up a bunch of freaked out giant animals and give them some kind of crazy drug cocktail and run them like hell's behind them.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking
and
about.
And whip their ass hard.
Yeah, you don't know.
Every once in a while, one of their legs falls off, and you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know what?
And well, that... you don't know dick. Oh, yeah? I solved it.
Okay.
And just because the solution is not what you wanted,
yeah,
it doesn't make it any less true.
Exactly. I don't like the answer, so you're a moron.
It wasn't like, what's going on in Santa Anita? It's like, no. You just started to count at Santa Anita.
All right. Well, we've got the, what did Roger Lodge call you again?
Lodge.
What did he call you again?
The guy from Blind Date. Yeah, come on.
What did he call you again? I forgot.
Studio thug.
Studio thug, or a.k.a. the barking seal,
Or the burrito from San Pedro.
Is now just a regular Sherlock Holmes, man. All right. I love it. Great stuff. Love you.
My favorite detective is Christopher Philip Marlowe, excuse me.
Philip Marlowe. Okay.
Philip Marlowe, yeah, the Raymond Chandler detective.
All right, I'll look it up. Great stuff, man. This was fun. We didn't talk about anything that was relevant to anything, and that's the way I like it. Just the way I like it, every Wednesday. You're the man. Tell the kids I said hello. Give the wife a hug for me.
I'll tell them.
I'll see you, man. Petros Papadakis with us. Kevin Harlan is going to join us. Coming up at 5:05 tonight, right here on 950 KJ.
Now back to Softy and Dick on Seattle's original diehard sports station and home for the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 56. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Hugh, what's up, man? Where you been?
Just been
around.
All right, we're back. 4:32. That guy will join us Friday at 5:05, I think, in his normal spot. Well, Hugh will.
Oh.
Once he's got some concert in Palm Desert he wants to drive to with his wife. That was his excuse for last week. I'm driving to Palm Desert for a concert with my wife.
Okay. It's nice of him to call me while I was down.
To call you?
Yeah, I was
he
down.
Was there, he was there Friday,
so was I.
And you were there Friday.
Oh, I know what concert
I don't think
he
knew
to.
That you were there Friday.
He went to Maroon 5.
He absolutely went to Maroon 5.
Because Maroon 5 was playing at the golf tournament that I was at.
He went to Maroon 5.
And so, I had tickets and decided not to go. Well, I could have given them to Hugh.
Yeah, because there's like 15,000 different things you'd rather do than go see Maroon 5.
That's exactly right.
I'm a bigger fan of Maroon 4, to be honest with you.
You
so,
know, I love the tournament, but they made you.
Come on, no courtesy chuckle? Nothing?
No.
Jeez.
It was already, I'm moving on to the next
low-hanging fruit.
I get nothing out of this guy. It's all I want is a courtesy. All I want in life is a damn courtesy chuckle. Okay, there you go. Thank you. We can move on now. Go ahead.
All right. They made you pay two of the days of the tournament. They made the tickets $60 more.
For the concert?
For the concert,
like
whether you
football.
Wanted to go to the concert or not.
It's like the NFL ripping you off.
It's like $129 to go to the golf tournament.
Now you know how football fans feel when they have to buy crap in August. You know? Well, the price is lower, but my regular season games just got jacked up 20% because of this. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's highway robbery. I mean, somebody should be arrested for that, and I don't like it. By the way, I'm looking at the Rich Eisen Show Twitter account. Owner of the best Skip Carey impression in the world, besides me, obviously. Kevin Shockey retweeted this. And did somebody not text the show yesterday and say that whoever wins the coin toss to start the game should get their choice right then and there of what they want to do in overtime? Did somebody not suggest that?
They said the choice would carry over.
Choice would carry over, right. So, for example, let's just say you're the Seahawks and you're playing the Packers in the NFC Championship and you win the coin toss and it's heads. You can defer then, but then you also have your choice of what you want to do when overtime comes up, which obviously you would take the ball given the current overtime system. Well, apparently somebody called the Rich Eisen Show and suggested the same damn thing. A caller suggesting the NFL should work it out so teams know before they head to overtime who receives the ball first. Now, maybe there's a different way of doing it. Maybe part of a halftime show. You have a coin flip to decide who gets the ball. And I'm not kidding you. Yeah, you don't have to do it in for the opening kickoff. You don't have to give that team the same honors, in overtime. But I guess the question is this. If the Buffalo Bills knew as they were driving down the field,
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That if that game went to overtime, that the Chiefs were going to get the ball first, would they have run more clock? Would they have kicked the ball? Maybe.
Well, they scored with 13 seconds left.
But still, they had all three timeouts, and you don't want to leave anything to chance, right? I mean, I'm with you. 13 seconds seems like you've done it. It seems like you're good to go. But people talk about the squib kick. Well, the squib kick, the clock doesn't start until the guy touches the ball. He could touch the ball, go to a knee, lose 1 second, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they could have pushed it up, and they could have almost made the Chiefs.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Partially return the ball, then maybe run a couple of seconds off the clock there. Who knows? Or maybe they would have called their offense differently. I got no idea. Was it Gabriel Davis that caught that ball for the go-ahead touchdown? Maybe he goes down at the 1 yard line.
No.
I got no idea.
Left.
I got no idea.
No, I can.
You don't have any idea we've never lived in that world.
I can buy your theory if there's like 50 seconds left to go in the game, but they're behind. So they're, modus operandi one is to put the ball in the damn end zone whenever you can put it in the end zone. Now, I'm a big proponent of you're down by 5. There's a minute left. The other team doesn't have a timeout left. I'm a big proponent of, okay, maybe we run a play that we might not be able to get into the end zone here,
yeah, right,
because the other team
right.
might let you get into the end zone at that point.
Right.
So I'm a big
exactly.
proponent of falling down at the 1-inch line
yes.
and
yes.
milking the clock all the way down and then scoring, but I don't think 13 seconds is the time
well,
that we'd worry about.
And I agree with you. I'm just, for shiggles and gigs, I'm bringing up the conversation that to go down at the 1-yard line would be ridiculous because then you're opening up the possibility that they stop you from the 1-yard line.
Exactly. And you fumble.
And you don't get jack squat, right? As we got that clip that I spent all damn day looking for, you get nothing.
You get nothing.
That's what you get. So that'd be it. That'd be it. Colossally stupid. I just wonder. I'm just tossing it out there. So stop yelling at me. I'm just tossing it out there. Is there anything the Bills would have done differently, or any team would do differently, if they know in the back of their mind that the other team gets the ball to start overtime?
And
I guarantee you, there's a coach that would somewhere down the line say, "Yes, there's something I do differently."
In that particular scenario, no. In a scenario where there's more time on the clock, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, if it was a game like that where it just looked like neither defense was going to do anything for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I just agree with what Florio, I agree, that made it sound like I said I disagree. I just agree with what Florio said today, that if they can't change the rules now, I don't know if they ever will. And I don't know what, see, the problem with this stuff, it's like anything. It's like, what's that paralysis by analysis? Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't hard. It really isn't. Like, we don't need to have debates on sports talk radio. We don't need to have conversations. This doesn't need to be part of a committee that goes to the NFL and then gets bumped up to another committee. Each team gets a chance. Like Holmgren said today with Ian, it's not hard. If the Chiefs score a touchdown, the Bills get a chance to match. If they don't, the game's over. That's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. And if the Chiefs get a field goal, if the Bills get a field goal, the game keeps going. If the Bills get a touchdown, the game's over. Now, maybe on the second or third possession, you kind of start to say, okay, we got to figure something out. Maybe you make
a clock.
Maybe the 40-second play clock is a 20-second play clock. Maybe you go for two after every touchdown, starting with the third overtime. Maybe at some point you get to a point where you're 5 overtimes in and you do what college football does, whatever. But I'm just saying, to initially start the overtime, this isn't hard. Each team gets a chance to see the field, and that's it. Testimonials are coming next. Kevin Harlan, we'll ask him if he thinks that game will inspire change in the NFL's overtime rules at 5:05 tonight, courtesy of the Emerald Queen, right here on 950 KG.
Story. Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Oh, boy. All right. Kevin Harlan's going to join us coming up in a matter of minutes. What game do you think he's calling? Kevin Harlan has a house in Kansas City.
Yeah. What game do you think he's calling?
You think so? You think so, huh?
Well, they've sent him all over God's green earth before, so.
Well, we'll find out if you're right. You got a 50% chance of being right.
I do.
Next segment with Kevin Harlan, courtesy of the Emerald Queen.
Well, who's calling the other game, do we know?
Probably Kugler. Kugler and who does Kugler do the games with? Who's his partner?
Baselli?
Baselli. Yeah, maybe Baselli. Kugler and Baselli and Kurt and Harlan. Kevin and Kurt and Baselli.
Kevin
and
Kurt, that's the A-team, man. Yeah, I like Kugler, but that's the A-team.
That's the thing. That's why I bring it up, because you got a former Ram quarterback who still is a big fan of the Rams. It's funny how those ex-St. Louis guys, like remember DeMarco Farr yesterday was talking about how Isaac Bruce wants to address the team. Did Isaac Bruce ever play in L.A.? I don't think he did.
No, he was
there for a cup of coffee, if anything, right? All right, 49451, Textimonials. Jackson, what do you got?
Petros could do a great Tommy Boy impression.
Oh, God. He could do a great anything. That guy, you know what? And honestly, when I say the barking seal, he literally, if he wanted to, could go to a zoo and become a seal. And people would buy it. That's how talented that guy is. It's unbelievable. All right, what's next?
Petros is right. The PA announcer in SoFi is intolerable. Just listen on Sunday and you will want a dyspeptic hobo to stick a fork in your neck.
What did he say?
A what hobo?
You want what?
I had to look that word up. Apparently it means like somebody who has bowel problems.
I didn't hear it. What did he say?
It's
he wants a what? Dyspeptic?
Dyspeptic
hobo.
Dyspeptic, yeah.
To stick a fork in your neck. That's what the PA guy does at SoFi Stadium.
I never noticed it. I will now. Wow. I'll listen.
Yeah, well, Greg Bell was bitching about it when he got back from L.A. He said it was nauseating.
Is it too loud, or it's how he...
I think it's his delivery. I have no idea. See, now I'm going to look for it now in the game on Sunday.
Well, that's like...
It is too loud, by the way. Yeah.
Well, that's like when we go to the Apple Cup and... And that's another Cougar first down!
Which you don't hear very often. You don't hear that very often, obviously. Except for last year. All right, what's next?
No, no, no to Quandre Diggs.
Ooh,
the Seahawks should use that money on the offensive line.
I agree. They should not sign Quandre Diggs. They should sign Quandre Diggs, first of all.
They've got money to go around.
They do have money. I mean, they should be able to take care of a lot of problems, right? They should be able to address, you know, some guys they need to resign, and they should be able to go out and get some guys in free agency. But you know what? In general terms, if you're telling me that it comes down to Quandre Diggs or an incredible left tackle of the future or an incredible guard or center, I mean, I'm taking the lineman. I think for as good as Diggs was, and he was very, very good, nobody's going to disagree with that, I think Quandre Diggs would be easier to replace or come closer to replacing than an all-pro offensive lineman. How's that sound?
You could cut Jamal Adams for $16 million.
I have no problem doing that at all. There's not a chance Pete Carroll does that.
That saves a lot of headaches down the road, because then you could sign a free agent and you could backload the contract to start really paying him in 2023.
But it doesn't give him the flexibility now because of the dead cap number, right?
Right.
$16 million coming off the books. I mean, they want to win now because, as you just said on the air a couple segments ago, this is Russell Wilson's last year and everybody knows it. All right.
Because they're going to cut him after 2022 anyway. I know.
Did you not hear what I just said?
No, because I'm looking at this. I'm studying this number.
I just literally put words in your mouth, and you allowed it to happen.
What did you say?
He didn't even hear what I said.
Do we just rewind?
I said, everybody knows you hate Russell Wilson, love Kyle Seager.
Oh.
And it went right over your head. And I said none of that. I said half of that. My God.
Because I was fascinated with the prospect.
He's not even paying attention to anything coming out of my mouth.
Did you know that the cap
You're
hit.
You're like a dog, for God's sake.
Squirrel. The cap hit for Jamal in 2023 is 18, but the dead cap's only 12.
Get him out of here. Cut his ass. Cut him.
So that's the deal. Yeah. He plays one more year here.
What's next?
Dick's wrong. You spend money by position group. Need to consider the Adams contract.
That was in response to me.
Yeah,
it was in response to you. You said, can we pay Quandre Diggs when we're already paying a safety that much?
And right.
Like,
right.
I'm looking at the big picture, what you're paying the 53-man roster, not what you're paying another safety.
No, I get it, but you are spending a lot of money at safety, and it's like, you know, you're not going to pay a backup quarterback $6 million if you're paying Russell $35,
right.
Obviously. And I think it is a factor, you know? I mean, that's one position that's getting a huge bulk of your salary cap. What's the cap going to be next year? Like $220 million or something like that, whatever it is? So you're talking about, you know, 20%, 15% of the cap is going to one position. That's a lot of money. Now, if those guys are Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas, which these guys aren't, I had no problem with that.
Right.
Because those guys were real difference makers every single week when they were in their prime. I don't know if I see that with these two guys. What's next?
I'm Team Hugh. Jamal Adams has shoulder issues. I have doubts he can come back and play effectively.
Okay, there's a vote for Team Hugh.
Yeah!
That was the conversation earlier on the day about the Jamal Adams spectrum. On one side, you got Michael Sean Dugar waving the pom-poms for Jamal Adams. Collecting all the fan letters and shipping them off to Jamal's house. The other side, you got Hugh Millen firing up the horse and buggy, wanting to drive his ass out of town. So this guy's on the Millen side. What's next?
Here's what we want for Adams. 2 7th-round picks. Oh, and we'll give you $7 million, too.
2 7th-round draft picks and $7 million for Jamal Adams.
Well, if you were to trade Jamal Adams, it would have to be a Robinson Cano type.
Right. Where they pick up a large part of the contract.
They pick up a large part of the contract.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. By the way, is anybody on Team Dugar at all?
Not anybody? A single text.
Come on! Not one person.
That ship has sailed, man.
That's insane. That's not even fair.
Team Dugar is flying the flag in the middle of the ocean, and there's nobody on his boat.
Clearly, we don't have any of Jamal Adams' family listening to the show.
Wow, what's next?
For overtime, what if each team got the ball and both score? Mm-hmm. How about field goals starting at 35 and move back until a miss?
It's like a home run derby.
Ooh.
Field goal derby.
Well, there's a part of me that is, from a fan's perspective, very intrigued by that. But that does come with kind of a circus-style kind of atmosphere. Would the NFL go for that?
Yeah,
I don't think they would.
It's kind of soccer-esque, man.
Yeah. Ooh. No,
sorry, it is soccer-esque. It's very soccer-esque.
Penalty kicks are terrible.
How'd that taste?
I hate penalty kicks. Worst way to determine soccer games ever.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, guys. Like I said, the start of overtime doesn't have to be hard, but if you want to finish it. And then you made the point with Florio about, well, if they keep going and going and going, then that puts that team at a disadvantage for the next game, which I would say, okay, fine. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Right?
It's your own fault.
Yes, exactly. What's next?
The point was if you open the game, win the coin toss, but you choose to defer, you also acknowledge that you don't get the ball first if there is an overtime under the existing rules.
I don't like it.
It is a deterrent to defer if you win the opening coin flip.
I don't like it. Because then everybody would just take the ball. Everybody would take the ball. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you know that you get the ball first in overtime, if you take the ball now, why would you kick the ball away when you don't get the ball in overtime and you could lose unless they change the rules? If they change the rules, then maybe it's a different animal. If they change the rules and each team had a shot, I want to be on defense first.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like in college football. Mm-hmm. Everybody who wins the coin toss in college football wants to be on defense
first.
And
they take the wind.
Exactly. If they change the rules in the NFL, fine. Until then, it's a stupid idea, and you're dumb for texting it.
Jackson, what do you think of the hockey rule for soccer overtime? I'm still stuck on this.
The hockey rule?
Yeah, they go 3-on-3.
Yes.
Make soccer like a 5-on-5 in overtime.
My dad had the most brilliant idea. What you do for soccer overtime is if it's still tied after 90, you start with normal 11-on-11.
And you take guys off?
You take one off every 10 minutes until somebody hits a goal, and then it's golden goal.
And it's 1-on-1.
Your dad has great ideas?
He does.
Well, what's your excuse then?
I have no idea. Clearly the genes didn't pass
The down. Apple did not fall down from the tree.
No.
At all.
So you got the courtesy laugh on that one, didn't you?
Good.
Paying attention there.
Now you see? Well, he's listening to the show, unlike you, who's over there in internet land doing whatever the hell you're doing. 4:55. Kevin Harlan's going to join us next on 950KJ.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.